Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The concept of a Last Supper is probably pretty familiar to you. We have them all the time. If you have ever vacationed somewhere, the last meal of your trip provides closure for your time away and prepares you for the trip home. Last school lunch before summer break was always a big deal because it meant that we would soon be set free from the constraints of the classroom and unleashed on our summers. The last meal with friends before moving to a new place is always significant and memorable and is part of the experience of leaving one place to live in the next. Like Jesus and his disciples, we have our own versions of quote-unquote Last Suppers all the time, which are moments when we can look back at the memories that we have shared and look ahead to what the future might bring. These are often poignant, existential moments of great significance in our lives. It was no different for Jesus the last night before he died. Gathered in the upper room, Jesus' last night and meal with his disciples was a moment in the history of the world that we observe every week here at Faith. It was during this meal that our Lord and Savior left his disciples with parting words about what would happen next. He called out the one who would betray him, foretold Peter's denial, washed his friend's toes, and shared the meal of bread and wine with those who would found the church after he was resurrected. It was arguably the most important meal that has ever been shared, before or since. Now we observe the original Last Supper during our service tonight, calling it Maundy Thursday. I used to think it was called Monday Thursday and just assumed it was some kind of summary service of the week or something. I probably thought this because Maundy kind of sounds like Monday, and I had no idea what Maundy really means. In fact, this day is called Maundy Thursday because it is based on the Latin word mandatum, which means commandment. Thursday in English. It was at this meal that our Lord left his disciples with three powerful commandments that they were to follow after his death. Or possibly four, depending if you pick one of them apart or not. Jesus gave his first commandment right away in our passage in John when they first gathered for the meal. He commanded his disciples that he must serve them by washing their feet, and they must serve others in turn by doing the same. This was quite scandalous at the time, not just because dirty feet are kind of gross, but also because Jesus was their leader. As we see in Peter's protests in the text, it was expected that the master would never serve but be served. And Jesus turned their expectations on end by kneeling to serve them instead. Even though he was God's son who spoke, taught, and healed with authority over his disciples, he was still the one to serve them. And by serving them, he commanded them that they must allow themselves to be taken care of by the Savior. It might seem pretty sweet to be served and cared for in a way that we do not deserve, but it is also humbling and challenging. It is hard to imagine God bending down to dirty himself with the lint between our toes and wash away the sweat from the soles of our feet. But God did just that. Our Savior humbled himself to become this kind of servant for us. We must ourselves humble ourselves to be served in this way. And again, humble ourselves to serve others in kind. The next commandment, or commandments, depending on how you think about it, is that we share the bread and the wine. Jesus, in his words of institution that we hear every week, said, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And again, after supper, "This is my blood shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this for the remembrance of me." During the meal, Jesus commanded his disciples and us as disciples that we are to share in his body and blood by eating the bread and drinking the wine. The meal was not a one-and-done affair, locked in a room nearly 2,000 years ago. It has been shared over the centuries, around Christian tables in Asia, Africa, Europe, the Americas, Australia, and even Antarctica. This meal has been an instrument by which the grace of God has been shared with billions of Christians across the globe, ever since the bread was first broken with the 12 who followed our Messiah. We are commanded to partake in the body and blood of our Lord in and with the bread and the wine, because it is tied to a promise. "This is my body given for you. This is my blood shed for you." For you. All this was done for you. This is more than a commandment. It is a promise of profound significance. The third and ultimate commandment that brings us together this evening is the one that Jesus stated explicitly in our passage from John for today. He said, "Let me give you a new command. Love one another. In the same way I loved you, you love one another. This is how everyone will recognize that you are my disciples, when they see the love you have for each other." Love one another. A simple command that in many ways is the hardest for us to follow. We are called and commanded to love as Christ first loved us. We are commanded to let our lives and our communities be known by the love that is found in our hearts and shared with the world. Some are critical of this command, believing it is somehow pretentious to say that Christian communities are the only ones known for the love that we share. However, many of these same folks are just as critical when Christians do not show love toward the world. Even non-believers can recognize the importance of Christian love. Love one another as Christ first loved you. Do this and your faith will be revealed to a world that longs to believe in the promise that Christ shared with his disciples after he had washed their feet. All of this was done for you. May the peace of Christ, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.